Welcome tonight. This is our brand new series called Unbelievable. And now we've all heard stories that have made us think, there's no way. That's unbelievable. You may say like, wow, I can't believe that. Or no, I literally don't believe you, what you're telling me. I've had some people tell me stories that I literally don't believe. I'm pretty sure they're just making them up. And you've probably had the same thing too, right? So speaking of unbelievable, let me show you a famous image that was going around the internet. It's probably been 2 years now or so ago. Do you remember the blue and black dress? Now, okay. Now, is it blue and black or is it white and gold? Who says blue and black? Who says it's white and gold? White and gold. Now, I still am really suspicious that anyone actually sees white and gold. I think it's a big prank. I can't believe someone would see white and gold. That is unbelievable to me. And so the official ruling is in. Here's the official page that it's sold on. Now, does it look any different on this page?
No.
Blue and black. Royal blue lace detail bodycon dress. There you go. Proof! It's blue and black. There it is. So there's been a lot of things that we've heard that have been unbelievable. Some have been things have been told from a very young age. For some of us, it might even include things that we talk about here at church or that you have read about in the Bible. And so this is just a guess, but there's probably people in this room right now who sometimes wonder, is this whole Christianity thing real? What about God? Is there actually a God? What is this Bible really true? And if you're here today and you've asked those questions, maybe you're asking them right now even, welcome, I'm glad you're here. And number two, you're not alone, because most of us have been there. I know I have. I'm no super Christian. I have questions, and I still have questions. I don't know it all, because I'm just like you. If you've never asked questions or had doubts about your faith, I think that's unbelievable. But the truth is that one day you probably will. It's inevitable to have a doubt or a question or not understand something or to read something in the Bible and think that it is unbelievable. And so I'm going to pass out some cards that I want you to hang on to. And throughout our time tonight, as we're talking and discussing, I want you to think of a question or two. If you have two questions, your group will get just a stack of these. So if you have more than one question, write it down. It could be a question about the Bible, about God, about Christianity. It could be a question about life. As long as they're serious questions, I want you to write your question down. What's something that you've always wondered or you've never been able to wonder out loud or ask anonymously? You can write these down and we will take a look at them. And I'm going to ask you actually to post them on the wall over here at the end of the time, just so you know, okay? They're not going to have your name on it or anything, but we are going to be able to see all of our questions because I want you to know that you're not alone. A lot of those questions will probably be the same. There'll be some questions that are asked more than once and some that we all struggle with when we think about God and the Bible and our faith and Jesus and Christianity. What are the questions you have about those? We're going to talk about the series for 3 weeks, and then on the fourth week, I'm going to extend the series one extra week, and we're going to do our best to talk through some of the questions that we have up on the wall. And these will be available for the whole series for 3 weeks as you write down questions. But let's get a jump start tonight. If you have anything that, as we're talking, that jumps out in your mind, oh, I've always wondered this, or I wish someone could explain this to me, let's write them down, all right? Hey, Josh and Brandon, Peter, you guys want to help pass these out? Give each group a few, and one of you can get some pens and pass them out. All right. Hey, so as those cards are going around, let's talk about belief and doubt. At some point in your life, there have been people that have handed you a collection of things you believe. And it started really young, in Sunday school, at home. Maybe it was your parents, maybe it was your teachers, maybe your pastors. And if those people were Christians, they were giving you good Christian things to believe in. And so you may have grown up learning about things like the Bible or the cross. And as you grow up, this just gets put in your I believe box. You learned about what the church is. You were taught about heaven and even hell. And you learned the gospel. You learned about Jesus. And as best as you could learn about the Trinity, you learned about God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and who God is, and that He created you. And you learned about salvation and how you get saved. And so all these things at a young age were put inside your I believe box. And you probably didn't ask a lot of questions about the things in this box because from a very young age you were taught what they were. And so you just kind of held it and you believed it. And at first all these beliefs fit pretty well in your I believe box in your life. And it makes sense. But as you get older, you start to see that your life experiences are going to start bumping up against these beliefs. They'll start to rattle and shake your box. And the more you get rattled, the more chances some of these beliefs are going to fall out. And so let's talk about the things that bump up against our beliefs and rattle and shake our life. Maybe it's a friend that believes something different than you. Maybe it's a teacher that questions your belief. Maybe it is life circumstances. You go through something hard, you lose a loved one, your parents get divorced, your home is falling apart. And suddenly things don't fit in the box of belief like they used to. And sometimes things get left beside. And so doubts creep in. And let me tell you, in the moment where you have that doubt, what you do in that moment, when you see your belief slipping away, will determine what happens for the rest of your life. Kind of like this clip from movie Unbroken about a young boy named Louis Zampanelli. Let's watch this clip. Now listen, you're going to come to a point in your life where you're going to feel like him, and not about running, but about your faith, where you just want to stop, you don't believe, and you need someone alongside of you that says, yeah, but you can do it, and I do believe, and let me show you how it's done. The good news is that you aren't alone, and you've got someone, and you've got people in this room that can be that someone. And even in Scripture, one of Jesus' followers, a bunch of Jesus' followers dealt with doubt, but someone, one of his closest followers, is right there with you too. We're going to jump in his story right after your first discussion time, so jump on in as we keep the ball rolling, as we talk about faith and doubt. Go for it. Now, hopefully you've got a question card, so as we continue talking, if you have a question that comes up that you would love to hear an answer to, we may not have an answer, but we'd love to hear your question. So write that down, and you can go home tonight and this week and be thinking about more as well, and bring them with you. Write them down as you're thinking about them, and then maybe bring your list, and let's fill up that board with just a bunch of questions that we want to prayerfully talk about over the next few weeks. So let's turn to that story that I told you about, a guy that had questions, and he thought when he first heard Jesus, he thought it was pretty unbelievable. It's in John chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, turn there. I'll put it up on the screen if you don't, so we can all read along. When Jesus began his ministry, though, he started out by inviting people to follow him. You remember those scenes of Jesus saying, follow me, to the fishermen and the tax collectors. To follow him and be a disciple. So disciple is a word that just means kind of student or learner. Jesus was inviting people to follow him and learn from him. And one of those guys he asked to follow him was Philip. Now, Philip was so excited about this Jesus guy and thought he was the most amazing man. And he was so excited, he wanted to go tell his best friend. And his best friend was Nathanael. And so we read about Nathanael in John chapter 1, verses 45, we will begin. And so here's where the story starts. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And here's what Nathanael said to him. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, I don't know what Nathanael's problem is. Obviously, he doesn't like Nazareth. Philip's trying to tell him about the most amazing man he's ever met, who he believes is the Messiah, the one that Moses talked about, the one that came from Nazareth. And yet, Nathanael is kind of like, I don't know if I buy that. I'll believe it when I see it. Have you ever had those moments? I'll believe it when I see it. So Nathaniel is skeptical. Nazareth was a small town, kind of a dirty town, kind of not known for much. And so Nathaniel's like, what could come out of Nazareth that would be any good? Like, if the Messiah is going to come, he would come from a much cooler, a much bigger place than Nazareth. And so let's continue the story in verse 46 and on. And so Philip said back to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So, do you see how Jesus responds? Nathanael is skeptical at first. He doesn't necessarily believe what Philip is telling him. And yet when Jesus sees him coming, before he's even met Nathanael, he looks at him and says what? "Now there is a man without deceit." There's a man that has integrity. He is a smart and honest man. Now, so Jesus doesn't respond to Nathanael's questions and skepticism and maybe even doubt with anger or frustration. He's not surprised by it. In fact, it almost seems like Jesus likes the fact that Nathanael was a little skeptical of Philip's excitement. He wanted to see for himself. I mean, Jesus looked at him and said, "Yes, now that is a man that has no deceit in him." And so Nathanael may not have jumped right on the Jesus bandwagon right from the very beginning, but once he met Jesus, he realized he was exactly who Philip said he was going to be. And you know that question that Nathanael had about Nazareth? He didn't have to ask. That didn't even come up in the conversation. I don't even know if Nathanael ever had to think about it again. As soon as he met Jesus personally, that question didn't matter anymore. And so here's the lesson, I think, for us in that. The closer you get to Jesus, the farther you will get from your questions and doubts. The questions and doubts and skepticisms that you have about Jesus, the closer you get to him, the farther those will become, the less important those will become. So maybe you feel a little bit like Nathanael. Maybe you hear people talk about Jesus, and sometimes you have that thought, I don't know. I don't know if I could trust that. I guess I'll believe it when I see it, but I don't know if I can really put my faith in that. I think the reality is that even with our doubts, sometimes God can come through. So when we grow up, we have this box of I believe, and right about this time in your life, you're beginning to take all these I believe things that your parents handed you and your Sunday school teachers handed you and your pastors handed you and your leaders and coaches and teachers handed you, all the things that you're supposed to believe, you're starting to take them, pull them back out of your box and think, wait a second, do I really believe this? And a lot of times they turn into questions. And then those questions get put in this great big backpack called the I Doubt backpack. And you pick up the I Doubt backpack every day and you carry it around. Questions that you just wonder about. Questions like, does God have a plan for me? And you just stick it in there. I don't know. I doubt that. Did Jesus really raise from the dead? You start doubting some of the I believe things that you learned. Am I really valuable? How much worth do I really have? How can I know if I'm saved? The ultimate question, you start doubting your faith. Does God love me? Is God even real? Can I be forgiven? Can God really forgive me? And you put them in your I Doubt backpack, and they just become what you carry around with you everywhere you go. But listen, when I read the story of Nathanael, this is what I see. I see that Jesus can handle your questions. All the stuff that you have in your I Doubt backpack, Jesus can handle. In fact, he loves it when you go to him after you doubt, just like Nathanael. He's just saying, come and see. Come and see for yourself. You may not get all the answers you need, but you will get closer to me. So just like Jesus invited Nathanael to follow him, despite his questions, Jesus is doing the same thing for you. It's a personal invitation. Despite your questions, despite your doubts, follow him, questions and all. And remember, Jesus can handle your questions. So sometimes we think that we can only have doubts or faith. Like, there's no mixing. Like, I'm not really saved if I have all these doubts. I can't really believe in God if I'm just always questioning everything. But I think this story shows us that you can have your faith but still have doubts. And you can carry both of these. And your questions may not go away, but when you meet Jesus, you get a new perspective on your questions. And so there's always going to be things about God you think are unbelievable, because that's just because God is unbelievable. But that doesn't disqualify you from knowing him. You can carry your questions as you seek God and follow him, and as you seek out those answers. So jump into your second discussion time as you wrap this up. Continue to write down a question or two if one comes to mind. And after your discussion time, we will begin posting those and taping those up on our wall. All right, go for it.